Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, give me a minute. Where is it? Here it is.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Did I sound a bit annoyed there at the beginning? So sorry about that. We had a little another technical snafu here before the beginning of the show. I know I shouldn't sit here and incessantly complain about things going wrong with our generous host, Blog Talk Radio. I don't even know that the problem even originates with them, although I've had problems on various, trying to log on with various media, so it doesn't seem like it's could be the fault of any single computer that I've been on, because it's happened on, two computers and my phone now. But what seems to be happening for some reason, Ananda of Love, show was on Thursdays at 11 p.m., is somehow getting double scheduled. And it's showing up that it's also on Fridays at 11 p.m., and it runs right up to the beginning of my show, which means I can't call in until the exact – and what we do is we call in, and we're on the phone, I'm on Skype. And it's nice to have to be able to call in and have a couple of minutes to get everything set up, you know, but I have to, because this phantom episode of Ananda's show runs right up, you know, up against my show, I can't call in until the second before the show starts. And as you heard, I wasn't able to get my opening ready. So now I've talked that out. I feel much better now. How do you feel? Good. Welcome to Mud Toe Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thank you for joining me this evening. A little bit of news to report, just a little bit of general stuff to talk about, and then we'll be done. It only takes half. I'm glad you're to join me here and listen to my ramblings. It is my hope as a shaman and a leader of society that somehow what it is that I'm being moved to say on the air tonight is reaching someone who's here. Don't know how, don't know why, don't so. I'm just a working girl. I just do what I'm told. So here I am. I was going to open the show tonight before all of the fumbling started. I was going to open the show tonight singing a snippet from When You Wish Upon a Star, old Disney song sung by Jiminy Cricket in the movie Pinocchio. I believe that's where it's from. Isn't that where it's from? Well, anyway, I'm trying to goad the Disney Corporation into suing me, because they like to sue people who wittingly or unwittingly use their trademarks, even if there's absolutely no way that their trademark could ever harm, that this, you know, little tiny organization, whatever they were. Disney once sued a daycare center because they put paintings of Disney characters on the walls of the place. And they painted a Pinocchio and a Jiminy Cricket and who else? Not Bugs Bunny, who's not part of that cast. Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and Pluto and all of them. They made, you know, somebody came in, probably somebody's mom came in and painted these nice pictures on the wall so that the kids would have something to look at, and the Disney Corporation got wind of it and just came down on them like a ton of bricks, I said, and made them repaint their walls and all that stuff. Because, and you know, the idea that, I mean, Disney doesn't even run daycare centers as far as I'm aware, so it wasn't any sort of, and these are all characters who have been, should have passed into the canon a long time ago, although Disney has been very successful in passing laws that to protect their intellectual property far past the time that it's logical for them to protect it. I guess what I'm saying is this daycare center is absolutely no threat to Disney in any way. And yes, Disney does have the right to protect their intellectual property, but why bother in this case? You know, it has to have cost them more to litigate it than the potential loss. There aren't any potential losses. Like I said, they don't run daycare centers. What are the potential losses? But anyway, that would the Disney Corporation would be restrained from doing that in a universe that made sense. But largely, we do it. Well, not a universe. I shouldn't say it that way. In a human society, it makes sense. The universe makes all kinds of sense. The planet makes all kinds of sense. It's the people who live on this planet that are just messed up beyond all belief and making stuff up. And one of those things, nice segue into my next little topic, is I am officially Obamacare compliant today. Received my letter from the state saying I have my my application for Medicaid, which was originally denied, has now been approved. Because my advocate called and talked to them. Isn't this fun? I have an advocate now, which I'm not going to have anymore because, now let me, I'm getting ahead of myself. I got, I go to this place when I, I wasn't working. I didn't have any money coming in. I was a basket case because I couldn't afford to go to a doctor to get my meds. I couldn't go to, my counselor, my, psychologist. Like I couldn't afford anything like that. And so I was just, being a constant burden on my friends by calling them at 4 in the morning and wanting to talk about the stuff. It's kind of like the stuff I'm doing now. This is the kind of things they would hear in the phone calls that I would make to them at 4 in the morning. So I said, look, you have to find a therapist. You have to get back on your meds somehow. So I went to this place that's paid for by the county. I became a leech sucking off of our government, as someone like Rand Paul might say. But I needed it, and I don't feel any shame because I paid into the system for years as a contributing member of society for many years, and that being a contributing member of society is what actually made me insane. So I feel no compunction about taking a little bit back when I need it to help me mitigate my insanity, because how else am I going to get one of those drone jobs again if I'm walking around loopy all the time? So I've been dealing with this county agency for about a year, and they've been helping me out. They've been taking care of the medicines and the counseling, and they've put me on to some employment counselors and helped me with my resume and helped me with my this and helped me with my that. The main issue to get over was that about a year ago I had that job, that full-time job, and it only lasted for 3 weeks. I'll refresh everybody's memory if it's been a year ago, and a lot of you might not have been listening to the show then. But after I was shown the door at the university, I applied for a lot of jobs around town because I wanted to stay here in my city, in my large city in the Midwest that I love so much. And I started on September, and around Christmas time, I got a couple of nibbles, and one of them was from a transportation company here in town, and they transport students who, for one reason or another, they can't ride the bus. And what they were looking at was not for a transporter so much as a trainer, someone to take over the duties. The office manager had plenty on her plate, and one thing she had to do was conduct these trainings that they constantly had to have. And she was looking for somebody who could take that responsibility off of her shoulders, and here I am. This is exactly what I was doing when I was back at the university. So I applied and went through an interview and then another interview, and they called me back after the second interview. This is the human resources lady said, we talked about who would be the best person for this job, and the name that came up over and over again was my real name, which I almost said. Not that I'm trying to hide it, but here I am, Mudto Sasquatch. I'm talking about not my real name, my birth name, the name my parents gave me, which I honor, but on this program, I'm Mudto. So anyway, they said my name. Oh, cool. That's really cool. It's nice to have that kind of feedback, and then I went, and it was great, and everybody loved me, and it was over in 3 weeks for two reasons. First of all, everyone who worked at the company was required to be licensed as a driver, and it's not just having a regular driver's license. You have to have a special license. It's a bus driver's license, basically, although we didn't have to drive a bus either. But you had to get the special license that qualified you to transport children to and from school. I flunked that driver's test, mainly because I was so freaked out. They made me take the test in my car, which was a POS. Piece of shit. I didn't mean that. Some people I say, I made that mistake once. I first heard that term in Men in Black 2. It must have been the original Men in Black, where Will Smith referred to their car as a Ford POS. I thought that was a kind of Ford. There's some sort of model of Ford was POS. No, it stands for piece of shit. So my piece of shit car, I had a turn signal that didn't work, And that was the main thing. And there were other things that bothered me. And every time I was hyper aware of all these things that were wrong with my car, and I kept making mistakes during the test, and I ended up flunking the test. There's that, and I also made the horrific mistake of during my physical, again, everything was so rushed, they didn't give me my physical first. Ordinarily, they would have given me the physical first before I started working. They would have given me the driving test first before I started working, but they were in such a hurry to get me started, they kind of short-circuited the process. So the driver's testing didn't work out, and then during the physical, I made the colossal mistake of admitting to the doctor that I had a problem with alcohol, had in the past, and he says that kicked me right out. I couldn't have the license. So despite how much they loved me, it was a company policy that everyone at the company, even the president of the company, had one of these licenses. So I was out on my ass after 3 weeks, wondering what the hell happened to me. And it's only now, I mean, that I've been trying to work with that experience of going from that, you know, absolute sort of, for absolute regard, absolute positive regard, to zero level again. And I had told, you know, I told obviously my folks, my family, all of my friends, I'm working again. You know, who needs the university? I'm out and about. And 3 weeks later, I had to go tell them, well, it's over. I might need you to be a reference for me again. It was from the heights of triumph to the troughs of humiliation. And honestly, I don't know how I didn't just tailspin into a relapse right there. I did manage to fight my way out of that, but I've been in a holding pattern for the last year or so. I've been unable to move forward, and I firmly believe that's the reason why. I don't know. I put my finger on whether it's fear-based. I mean, it has to be a little bit fear-based. I don't know whether that's the major thing that's working here, or whether it's just, you know, whether it's a depression reaction, you know, just nothing matters kind of thing. If I can, the people who've loved me more than any employer I've ever had dumped me after 3 weeks over sort of what I believe to be a technicality, then what's the point? You know, what's the point in trying to find something traditional? So that's where I've been stuck for about a year, and I've been working on those issues in therapy and making tiny bits of progress. You know, I applied for a job this past month after having applied for zero jobs in the previous 6 months. So it's coming along, and I have a new group of people I'm working with who are helping me get more resume issues, and they have access to certain, I guess, government-type hiring things that they don't advertise, so you don't know about them unless you're working with a sort of agency that's connected with the government. I guess that's how it works. I don't know. We're going to have to see how that works. And they have about 3 months to find me something full-time here in the city before I have to make a strategic retreat back to my parents, which would be for the fifth time in my life. And they're in their 70s now, so this is shortly going to become not an option. I mean, I hope they'll be around and well for many, many years to come, but not as young as they used to be. And at some point, you know, they're going to be looking, hey, maybe you ought to be taking care of us instead of you constantly running back here and us taking care of you. To that end, or maybe not, I don't know, maybe she's just being nice, or maybe I'm sure she wants to see me succeed. My mother bought me a gorgeous new interview suit in charcoal gray. We went to a famous national chain clothing store with everything 50% off, got a suit, two shirts, two ties, which is interesting because I don't know how to tie a tie, shoes and socks. I think that's everything. On a belt, I had a new belt. Did I get a new belt? I'll have to check. Because I don't know, I'm going to need a new belt. My the one I wear now is crap. Well, anyway, got all of that for $650, and my mother treated me to the nice new suit, which is like, please, son, you could look at it as, son, I love you, go out and succeed, or you could look at it as, please, son, get a job, don't come back here again. Either way, I accept it. Thank you. I thank my mother for that beautiful gift. And I'm going to actually have some pictures taken in it. I've been in negotiations with the fabulous Columba Markel Garcia of the Garcia clan here in Columbus, my good friends in the Nemanja Church. And she's quite the photographer, and I'm going to at some point next week we're going to get together and she's going to take some pictures of me in my new interview suit, which I will be posting in various places, and you can maybe get a look at me, see how I look when I'm cleaned up. But then the sort of tag to all of that is there's, of course, the Obamacare thing, and what do we do about that? Because the county office doesn't qualify me. I mean, it doesn't have to. Everybody in the country is supposed to be signed up for some kind of insurance by March 31st, although I hear they're waffling on that now. But I'm scrambling around trying to get me some form of coverage, and I think I talked on the show a couple of times about my my struggles with the website and whatnot. Well, it finally, what happened was the Obamacare website, the ACA, I don't really like the term Obamacare, but when you say ACA, nobody knows what you're talking about. So it's one of those things, the language sort of evolves as those who have the power to influence the language through numbers or through money or through control of the media or for whatever. They're the ones who decide what words mean, and they've decided it's going to be Obamacare, so that's the way it's going to have to be. Working with that the website, they recommended, well, you qualify for Medicaid. You need to apply for Medicaid. So I did, and after about 6 weeks, Medicaid turned me down. They told me I made too much money, which is weird because, let's see, I think my gross in 2012 was $9,000, and it's going to be something like $12,000 for last year. I did way better last year, $12,000. But, you know, both of those figures are way under the, I think it's 15.5. You need to be under 15.5 to qualify for Medicaid. So it just didn't make any sense. I think what it was is that the paycheck stubs I sent them came from the period of time when a lot of people at the place where I work were taking Christmas vacation, taking vacation before it expired, because you can't roll your vacation over to the next year. And I was getting this windfall of extra shifts, and it just blew my paychecks were like double what they usually were, and I think they went by those rather than what my income actually is. So there was going to be a hearing, but then my advocate, again from the county, spoke to the Medicaid people instead. And evidently, I mean, they have access to all of my financial information because I have to qualify with them every three months. I have to go to them and prove that I'm still poor. So they talked to Medicaid, and Medicaid reversed the decision, and I got a letter saying I'm going to have my cards in 2 or 3 days. And I got a call from the county saying, well, we can't work with you anymore because now you're on Medicaid. You're going to have to find a new counselor. You're going to have to find a new doctor. You're going to have to find – it's like, boy, it sucks to be poor because you just can't – it's just what you have to – just the crap you have to navigate on a day-to-day basis. It's just is excruciating. So anyway, the doctor is really not a problem. I'm just going to go back to the doctor I used to go to. Actually, I was there today, and they said that was no problem. I explained to them what was going on. They said, yes, they do accept Medicaid. So I'm going back on Tuesday to get my blood test prior to getting my medications updated, and then I'll be seeing my doctor again, my old doctor, my doctor that I like, in the first week of April. So hopefully that relationship will be rekindled. I like my doctor, first of all, because he doesn't really try to – he's never yet tried to talk me into doing something I didn't want to do. He didn't pull the doctor thing on me where he tried to convince me with his superior doctory knowledge that I should do what he said I should do, like flu shots. Well, I got a flu shot story for you, too, but I'll tell that after I'm done with this. Because he always suggests it, but I don't do it. He wants me to test, too, my sugar. I won't do that because I'm terrified of the needle, even though I know the needle is tiny and the needle isn't going to hurt me. But it is going to hurt me. It's going to go through my finger, up my arm, into my brain, and kill me. I know. Because that would happen to me. It would never happen to anybody else, but it would happen to me. I'll get tetanus from it. That'll be a thing. My mother drilled tetanus into me, you know, from when I was a kid. You know, anything sharp that you stick is going to give you tetanus. So how can I risk tetanus four times a day for the rest of my life? So yeah, I like him because he doesn't push those kind of things. He treats me like an adult. Maybe a slightly immature adult, but and that I am, so I have to accept that. The other, I told you I was going to have you another flu shot story for you. I got another email. I think I reported to this to you before. One of the companies that I do standardized patient for, that's where I go and pretend to be sick and the student doctors have to figure out what's wrong with me. One of the places I do that for emailed me and said, you haven't updated your flu shot. Says you have to have a flu shot to work for us. I'm not going to get a flu shot. So I emailed them back. I said, I'm sorry. I enjoy working for you, but you know, I'm not going to get the flu shot. And I haven't gotten that much work for them. I haven't gotten that much work from them anyway, but actually I've only gotten two jobs for them. But both of the jobs I got from them were paid very well and were really interesting. So I was, in that sense, I was sorry to let it go. But then the nice lady did email me back and says, so the flu shot is only an issue during flu season. It says April through August, which is not flu season, you don't have to have the flu shot. So April through August, we can still call you for stuff. Hey, works for me. So that's where we're at. A little compromise there, I guess. Not compromise, but things worked out. I may still get one or two interesting jobs from them. And speaking of other interesting sort of one-shot jobs, I had my first photo shoot earlier this week. A friend of mine, again, this is through Standardized Patient. A lot of standardized patients are involved in the arts, you know, actors and that sort of thing. And one of them works for a photographer, a commercial photographer for print ads and that sort of thing. And she came in and said they were doing a photo shoot for a chain of restaurants. I mean, I don't know if it's a chain of restaurants. I think it's a bunch of restaurants in town that are owned by the same people. And they said they want to do a new spread of print ads, and they need a lot of faces, and they don't necessarily want model-y type faces. So she was collecting names of people who might be interested in doing this. I said, why not? And she took the picture of me with her cell phone and said, I'll call you back. Well, she called me back, and they picked me, and I got to do some pictures actually with my friend from the standardized patient effort, where we pretended to be a married couple, and the scenario was she had convinced me to eat something I never thought I would like, and I liked it. So I got to do lots of, raised eyebrows and, open mouth, oh, really, did I like this, that kind of thing. And the photo shoot was just a blast because they were us standing at the table, and, they had some extras behind us in this restaurant. And then there are like 20 people who work for the photographer. There's a photographer and 20 people who work for him. And they're all on the other side of the picture, behind the camera, just scrambling around all over the place. There was a hair guy, people messing with my hair, putting, powder on my face, straightening out my shirt. When it got wrinkled up, they come and straighten it out and move things around, take things away, put things back, and put drapes over the lights, move the lights around. Getting the people, go and finding the people who are supposed to be in the chairs next, who are going to have their pictures taken after us. It was fun. It was a blast. I would certainly love to do it again if the opportunity presented itself. And the fact, I was probably there. I was there for maybe 2 hours, probably not that long. And I was actually in front of the camera getting ready for about 20 minutes and then taking pictures for about 20 minutes. So maybe 40, 45 minutes actually in front of the camera under the lights. And I made more money from that than I would have from the part-time job, my major part-time job that I just quit, and I'm starting a new part-time job next week, which I think I've already told you about. I'm going from the job where I take care of developmentally disabled people in their homes to a job where I grade tests, standardized tests, because there's more potential hours and it pays better. But anyway, I didn't really calculate it for the job I'm going to, but I know for the job I'm leaving, this little photo shoot paid more than a day taking care of developmentally disabled people. And, that kind of answers to that, or maybe doesn't answer to it, but reflects that thing I said earlier about how it's kind of a goofed up society we have. It's the people who do those things, care for the people who, frankly, other people are like say relatives, parents, that sort of thing. It's an unfair indictment on my part, perhaps, because I don't have their experience. I don't know what it's like to live with certain of the clients I work with. I can imagine, there are days when I get out of there after 8 hours, I say, whoa, I'm glad to be out of there. And I say, well, you can imagine that week after week, year after year, and, you know, unceasingly. So perhaps I can get there, but, you know, the government is paying someone to take those guys off your hands, and they don't pay them too awfully damn much. And these are things that need to change, I think, you know, because the people who do the jobs that are really most valuable from a social standpoint, and those jobs are not well compensated. But then at the same time, the rest of society is sort of coming back to those, you know, that real wages are falling, you know, things are getting more expensive and wages are going down. So maybe at some point it'll become just as attractive to financially attractive to work with the developmentally disabled, not because the wages of that job have gone up so far, but because the wages of other jobs have come down so far. I don't know. Am I a doomsayer? Do I not believe in the capitalist system? Well, it doesn't matter whether it's capitalist, whatever ism you want to choose. The inevitable result is that power and money and influence all end up in the hands of a few people, and those people keep going up the ladder, and everybody else keeps falling further and further behind. That's what history has taught us, and why should capitalism be any different? What is the evidence that system? Based on throat slashing, basically, you know, just competition, just unbridled competition. To the winner goes the spoils, and we expect that giving the major reward, the biggest rewards, to the most ruthless of our brothers and sisters is going to produce the best results for everybody. I think is more than a little bit starry-eyed. Apologize, I do not have my beverage, my tasty beverage in front of me, because again, I will blame Blog Talk Radio and their technical issues. Did not have a chance to pour myself a tasty beverage, so my voice is starting to get very ragged here as we approach the 2-minute warning of tonight's episode of Mudso at Midnight, where basically you heard me rant about crappy things that have happened to me, but it's not crappy things that happened to me. They're experiences that I was supposed to have, he said, in a tone that sounds like he's trying to convince himself of it. And here we are. Look, the temperature's dropped 6 degrees in the 30 minutes that I've been here with you. 61 degrees today. We're expecting snow tomorrow. Our freaky Midwest weather continues. We're expecting snow on Sunday. We're expecting snow on Wednesday, the day before spring starts. It's all just insane. It's a crazy, crazy world. And crazy, crazy people like myself ought to thrive within it, and yet we don't. I guess we're just not the right, either we're not the right kind of crazy, or we're actually the sane ones, and it's everybody else that's crazy. How about that one? I think I'm going to put that in my book. Okay, we are just about out of time. I want to thank you once again for joining me for my Friday evening excursion into whatever. I could have thought of a clever word there in the time that I allotted myself, but I didn't. That was a 12:30 on a Friday evening fail right there, and I got to get up early to go get my hair cut so I can look good for my pictures in my new interview suit. I think I have stalled sufficiently. Please join me next week. Please write me at mudtoesasquatch@gmail.com or Twitter me at mudtoesasquatch. I would love to hear from you. Thanks once more, and good night.